Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. I'm very happy to be here. This being my first time here at the Bay Roberts Church, I'm very, very delighted. I'm not that nervous because I see lots of familiar faces. Faces from the mission office, faces from Woody Acres, faces that have often visited St. John's Church. So I see St. John's Church members here also. So it's good to be here. I must say special thanks to Pastor Jason Williams and the Bay Roberts Board for extending the invitation for us to be here, to be sharing the word with you this morning. The weather so far this year has been great. It was a tremendous summer. This fall, it seems to be very good. We are enjoying the warm weather. The sun rises and the sun sets. Seasons come and seasons go. Crowns and thrones have perished. The grass wither and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. I want to say thanks to Elder Ron for your kind words of introduction and to Ryan for that musical piece. And so for the next few minutes, I would like to share with you from the caption, Names. I'd like to share with you a few words from the caption, Names. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for the opportunity to be sharing with your brethren here in Bay Roberts. I pray now that you may remove from me everything that is unlike you. May no trace of I be found, dear Lord. Hide me behind the cross, and may Jesus Christ be lifted up in our worship service today. Give us receptive hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. I'll begin by reading a portion, a familiar portion of scripture found in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 through to 21. Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 through to 21, and please keep your Bibles near because we're going to be using them today. Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 through to 21. It says, Now the birth of Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21 says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Names. There is so much in a name. The story was told of a woman who was pregnant with twins. And shortly before they were due, she had some kind of accident that left her incapacitated. Her husband was away on a business trip and was unable to be reached. And while she was in this state, she gave birth to her twins. The story is interesting because the only person who was around to name her children was her brother. And when the mother finally came out of her oblivious state, she realized that she had given birth and her brother had named her twins. She was worried because she knew that he wasn't the brightest, he wasn't the smartest of individuals. She was sure that he would name her children something absurd or ludicrous. And when she saw her brother, she asked him about her twins. And he said, yes, the first one was a girl. And the mother asked, well, what did you name her? And the brother said, I named her Denise. The mother replied, that's not too bad. What about the second one? The brother replied, the second one was a boy. The mother inquired again, well, what did you name him? The brother's response was, I named him the nephew. Names. There is so much in a name. And so the story was told of an executive who was visiting a city, and he hired a temporary chauffeur. And as they were talking, he asked the chauffeur, what is your name? The chauffeur replied, my name is Charles. The executive said, well, Charles, I always call my driver by his last name. The driver replied, yes, sir, my name is Darling. In that case, the executive says, Charles, drive on. Names. There is so much behind a name. You would agree with me that choosing a name for your baby can be such a daunting prospect. It is such a serious matter, as the name stays with them for the rest of their lives. Choosing a name is really a big decision. Certainly, there are a few things that we will have to consider when choosing a name. Do you want something traditional, or do we go with something a little more modern? Do we want something popular, or do we go for something a little obscure? Do you use a family name, or do you use the name of someone that inspires you? Names, there are so much to consider when choosing a name. But I have discovered from reading online that there are even guidelines for choosing a name for a baby. For example, the first name must sound good with the last name. And so you are encouraged to say it again and again, and say it out loud. Match a long name with a short name. Rhyming a first name with last name is not recommended. For example, Amelia Bedelia. Be careful of last syllables. For example, Amanda Panda. Be cognizant of initials. For example, Donald Oscar Gold D-O-G. Names. Giving a name involves so much. And yet today I want to draw your attention to a name that is above every other name. For the Bible says in Matthew 1:21 that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Bible speaks of one who shall be called Jesus. And I wonder this morning, do you know him? Do you know him? Because for more than 2,000 years, he was born contrary to the laws of life. He lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. Do you know him? He did not travel extensively. Once only did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived, and that was during his exile in childhood. He possessed neither wealth nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous. He had neither training nor formal education. But I ask you this morning, do you know him? In fact, in infancy, he startled the king. In childhood, he puzzled leaders and doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. In ministry, he walked upon the raging billows and hushed the sea to sleep. Do you know him? In ministry, he speaks to the water and it blushed so sweetly that it turned into wine. Do you know him, my friends? Because he healed the multitude without medicine. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the world combined could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet his name is the theme of more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. Do you know him? He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor did he fire a gun, and yet no leaders have had more volunteers. Yet at the proclamation of his name, rebels put away arm and surrender without a fight. He never practiced psychiatry, but yet he heals more broken hearts than all the doctors far and near. Do you know him? For he is exalted upon the highest pinnacle of heaven's glory. Do you know him? He is proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils. Do you know him? Because he stands forth as a living personal Christ, the Messiah, our Redeemer, our Savior, and soon coming King. And yet the Bible says in Matthew 1:21 that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do you know him? His name is that name that more than 2,000 years ago people have known. In fact, one estimate suggests that over 8 billion have claimed to be followers of his name. Millions, billions more have heard his name, and his name can be found in more than 6,000 languages. Friends, his name is Jesus. Jesus has been more than just a name. But let's be clear. His name is not a magic wand. Chanting his name does not give special powers. The power in this name is behind the person of the name. Friends, I ask you today, do you know him? You see, in the Old Testament, names mean something. In the Old Testament, names were more than just an identification badge. In the Old Testament, names often tells who you were and what God's purpose is for your life. And so Adam, he was the first man. Eve was the mother of all living. Abraham was the father of all nations. Benjamin was the son of the father's right hand. Moses was drawn out of the water. Peter was a rock. Barnabas was the son of encouragement. Paul was the chief of sinners. But what about Jesus? For the Bible says that she shall call his name Jesus. And the angel told Joseph, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do you know him? You see, he is more than a great teacher, more than an itinerant preacher, more than a moral philosopher, more than an enlightened man, more than a miracle worker, more than a self-help guru, more than a self-esteem builder, more than a political liberator. Do you know him? He is more than a purpose for the purposeful. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And there is so much sin in our world today. And so the Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through to 5, in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through to 5, that this will be a time of sin. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Paul suggests from such turn away. You see, we live in a climate of sin, and it's not difficult for us to see sin each and every day. We turn on the television and to check the news and we see sin. We read the headlines and we are horrified at the sinful condition of humanity. We see sin in advertising contents. We live in an atmosphere where it's not easy, where it is easy to see a picture of sin. And so it's become easy for us to point our finger and to recognize acts that are distinct and defined as acts of sin. You will recall a few days ago, a young man rented a pickup truck and just ran into a few persons, killing 8 and injuring many in New York City. Acts of sin. Daily we see the atrocities of a civil war that's been waging for the past 5 years and other wars in that region. But it is easy for us to see other people's sin. We don't illuminate or expound or highlight our sins. But oh, how much we point out and we magnify and we expose and we uncover and we disclose and we unveil and we reveal the sins of others. The story was told of a man who was wearing a big coat. And on that coat was numerous patches. In fact, it looked so odd for the man to be wearing that big coat with all those patches. It is interesting to note that on the front of the coat there were lots of patches. But on the back of the coat there was only one small patch. And someone dared to ask, "Sir, why are you wearing a big coat with all these patches?" The man began to point out the reason for the patches. And so he began to point out and he says, "Well, this patch here represents the sin of the pastor. This one represents the sins of the elders. This one represents the sins of the head deaconess. This one represents the sins of the head deacon. This one represents the sins of the Sabbath school superintendent. This one represents the sins of the choir leader. This one represents the sins of the church treasurer." Eventually, he was finished pointing out the patches on the front of his coat. And then the person asked, "Sir, what about that small patch on the back of your coat?" The man said, "Well, that patch back there, it represents my sin, but don't worry about it. I can't see it." Today I highlight an excerpt of scripture found in Romans 3:10. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Today I draw your attention to Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God." Today I'm here to tell you that if our greatest need were for information, then God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need were for technology, then God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need were for money, then God would surely have sent us an economist. If our greatest need were for pleasure, then surely God would have sent us an entertainer. If our greatest need had been for wealth, then God would have sent us an investment banker. If our greatest need were for silver and gold, then God surely would have sent us a gemologist. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, redemption, and restoration. Therefore, God sent us a Savior. But I hear the Apostle John speaks in 1 John 1:19 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The story was told of a beautifully dressed woman. She had her arms buried up to her elbow in the gutter. She was searching for something through the slime and the grime and the mud of the gutter. To be honest, it looked odd to see a well-dressed woman knelt down searching through the grime and the slime of the gutter. And so the crowd gathered and a policeman came and he asked politely, "Ma'am, what's the matter? What are you searching for?" And the woman, with tears streaming down her face, messing up her makeup, answered, "I lost my ring." It was a precious diamond ring that my husband gave to me. The woman explains that her husband was a soldier in the army, but he never came back from war. And this ring was the only thing she had to remind her of him. My friend, this was the explanation of that strange sight of a beautiful woman dressed, soiling her hands in the slime and the mud of the gutter. But if you think about it, it's only a great love that would have persuaded her to put her freshly manicured hands in the slime and the mud of the gutter. And so today I am reminded of the fact that the pure and spotless Son of God left the splendor of heaven. He came to this earth. He mingled in the midst and the filth and the mire and the slime and the grime of this world's gutter. And then he died on an old rugged cross. And I hear someone ask, "Why? Why, preacher?" But the answer comes back to us in Matthew 1:21, that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who is he? His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, the sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing. He keeps me singing as I go. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus. There is something about that name. Master, Savior, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, precious Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kingdom and kings shall pass. But there is something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, what a wonder you are. Jesus is his name. When I reaches up, he reaches down. When I reaches out, he reaches in. When I pray, he listens. When I call, he answers. When I trust, he blesses. When I work, he strengthens. When I serve, he inspires. When I study, he instructs. When I listen, he speaks. When I stray, he pursues. His name is Jesus. When I fail, he forgives. When I fall, he picks me up. Friends, his name is Jesus. He lifts up the brokenhearted. He restores the lost. He befriends the lonely. And he comforts the despairing. In fact, there is so much about the name of Jesus. There is so much about the name of Jesus. His name means something to everybody. Oh, check it out and you will see. For there is power in the name of Jesus. And so to the artist, he is the altogether lovely. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he is the living bread. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the life. To the builder, he is the sure foundation. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the educator, he is the great teacher. To the farmer, he is the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he is the rock of all ages. To the juror, he is the righteous judge of all mankind. To the jeweler, he is the pearl of great price. To the lawgiver, he is the counselor, the lawgiver, and the advocate. To the agriculturalist, he is the true vine. Not only that, to the traveler, he is the waymaker. To the orphan, he is the father. To the journalist, he is the good tiding of great joy. To the occultist, he is the light of the world. To the philanthropist, he is the unspeakable gift. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he is the word of God. To the sculptor, he is the living stone. To the servant, he is the good master. To the pharmacist, he is the only guaranteed prescription. To the theologian, he is the author and finisher of our faith. To the weary, he gives rest. To the rancher, he is the good shepherd. To the astronomer, he is the bright and morning star. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of this world. To the Christian, he is the Son of God, the living Savior, the Redeemer and Lord. Oh, the name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete. The precious name of Jesus. I love that name whose heart knows all my grief and bears a part, who bids my anxious fears depart. That name I love to hear. I never fail. It never fails my heart to cheer. That name, its music dries my falling tears. Oh, exalt the name of Jesus. No word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. Oh, praise the name forever swell. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus today and every day the same. Jesus, let the saints proclaim its worthy praise forever. Often we think of Jesus as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. But today I invite you to look beyond the manger. Today I urge you to look beyond the scenic picture of the nativity. Today I urge you to recognize who Jesus was and who Jesus is. I urge you to embrace the name of Jesus and all that it stands for. I urge you to take hold of the reason why he came to this earth, to be born as a babe in a manger, to be crucified on an old rugged cross, and to be laid in a borrowed tomb. I urge you today to look beyond all of this and to recognize the promise of Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, that this same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. This, my friend, is such a sobering promise. For the word of God is true and his promises are sure. Let us reverence the name of Jesus. Let us embrace his name. For the word of God assuredly states in Philippians 2:10 that there is coming a time when at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My friends, you see, it matters how you treat his name. In fact, what I really want to say is that how we treat his name will determine eternal life or eternal damnation. And so today, as I close, I leave you with a sobering thought, a sobering thought, and a question for reflection. What will you do with Jesus today? As I reflect, I can see Jesus, that babe in a manger. But that babe grew up. And one day he stood before Pilate and left Pilate with an important decision. But I especially like the way the songwriter puts it, poetically describes it. The songwriter described that decisive moment. It says, what will you do with Jesus today? Neutral you cannot be, for someday your heart will be asking, what will Jesus do with me? What will Jesus do with me? May God help us today as we reflect on these words in this coming week. May God help us to claim Jesus as our personal friend. May God help us to embrace with sincerity the person behind the name. Let us reverence the name of Jesus. For one day, like the poet declared, our hearts will be asking the question, what will Jesus do with me? May God richly bless you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Our Father and our great God, we are thankful to you, Heavenly Father, for your words. May they find lodgment in our hearts. Help us to claim Jesus and to live out your life and your principles in our daily lives. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.